Welcome to our Through the Bible study here on Bible in Depth Network with Alex. In our study, we look at the context of Scripture and how it applies to our daily lives. We also believe that there's no limitation to the revelation of the Word God. Let's study together today.
Yes, hallelujah. Praise be to God. I hope you're well. I hope the Lord has kept you safe. We come to you live in our broadcast, a live broadcast. And we thank God for yet another day. Where I am, it's evening, it's night time. We're closing the day. And for you who's joining us from across the world, from whichever part of the world that you're joining us from, we thank God for you. And we pray that God blesses you and prospers you. I don't know how you've been. I don't know how your day has gone. And sometimes it may be tough, sometimes horrible, but there's that confidence we've got in Christ, who's our rock and our salvation. And I just want to let you know that God loves you and God cares for you. And we want to take some time in the study of the Word, and later on have some prayer and worship to God. And we believe that God reveals His Word to us, to each and every body, each and every person that opens up their heart to God. God reveals their word, His Word to them. There is no limitation to the revelation of the Word of God. So God will reveal His Word to you if you let Him. And when you study the Bible, well, as we study the Bible, we trust God to tell us, to give us a message, to speak to us, because He's given us the Holy Spirit. And there we shall get revelation. There we shall get answers for some of the things that we did not know. We are sure that we shall get the answers to those things. Even as we read Scripture, yeah, we believe for revelation to come our way. Now, we are in our study of the book of Matthew, and it's just about five chapters to finish the book of Matthew. We've had, I think 60 episodes or something in the book of Matthew that we've done. And it's been a blessing. And we do not rush through it. Yeah, we want to study the Word and hear what God is telling us and get revelation of what God is telling us. So we will study, we take our time. And right now we are on chapter 23 of this book where I want to study today. And you can join me from wherever you are as we study together. Matthew chapter 23. And verse 1 tells us, "Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to His disciples." There are times when Jesus is talking to the disciples alone. And then there are also times when Jesus is talking to the crowd. There is a message that He sends to the different groups at a given time. There is a message that He will give, and we read even in the Bible. And it's specific to the disciples, and He's talking to them alone. And then, on other occasions, He's speaking to the crowds. And on other occasions like this one, He's speaking to all of them at once. And now, in chapter 23, it starts telling us He's speaking to the crowds and to His disciples. And what is He saying? He tells them, these are the words of Jesus. They are all in red, even in your Bible, if you look closely. He says, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses." He's now telling the people. He's telling them about their religious leaders, about their key men as far as religion is concerned in Israel at that time. Those were the Pharisees, Those were the scribes. And now Jesus is telling them that these people have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. The chair of Moses is a place of responsibility, is a place of authority, is a place of being custodians of the law, because that is clearly what we know that Moses is, a custodian of the law. And now he is telling us and speaking to us, of course telling the crowds as well, that there are people who are in this position of Moses, and you know them. And he's not having a problem with them as far as that is concerned, because they are the custodians. Yeah, they are the ones who felt the mandate to make sure that they run everything as far as religion is concerned in the community of Israel. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. Jesus is saying, whatever these people are telling you, please do it and observe it. Because he does not have a good relationship with them, does not imply that he's going to force people to rebel against them. Because they do not have a good understanding with each other, he does not come out to say, okay, do not listen to the Pharisees, do not attend to their meetings. If they had meetings, do not go to the synagogues, whatever it is, and listen to them. No, he does not say that. He tells the people that everything the Pharisees tell you and the scribes, do it and observe it. These being people who are custodians of the law, they were, of course, telling them about things of the law, things concerning the law, how you should act. And Jesus says, do it and observe it. He does not lead a rebellion against the people that he's not in good communication with. Sometimes when we do not have a good relationship with a certain group of people, it becomes a battle. It becomes a fight. We start to tell people, don't listen to that one because you do not have a good relationship with them, or because you fell out. You falling out with somebody does not imply that everybody else should hate them. If Jesus has issues, genuine issues, by the way, with the Pharisees, it does not imply that the rest of the people should not do what these guys are doing, because automatically, this is Moses' seat. They are in the position of being custodians of the law at that time in Israel. Now Jesus says, do and observe what the Pharisees tell you. But do not do according to their deeds. Some versions will say, do not do according to their works. For they say things and do not do them. He is saying there are things that these people are telling you to do that are in the law, do them. But when it comes to their deeds, that person that they are when they're outside the synagogue, when they're outside the temple, and you see it and it's not right, do not do it. Because it is very easy for us to preach. I'll come here and tell you about Christ, tell you about the goodness of God, tell you how the Bible says we should live, the life we should live, how we should honor God, and I tell you all those beautiful things. But then, when I'm done, I'm the devil out there. When people see you, they wonder, is this a man who preaches? When I tell you something, if I put my context, myself in this context, that I'm one of these Pharisees, and I'm busy telling you, love God, worship Him, honor Him, praise Him, do the good things that He tells you to do, listen to His word, obey His commandments, love one another, those things, you need to do them. But if I get out there and I'm the bad example, and I'm living contrary to the words I speak, you should not do as I do. Because when I am out there and I'm doing whatever I'm doing, it is not by the will of God. and those things that I'm doing that are not by the will of God, you do not copy them. You know, sometimes we say, I'm doing this because I have seen the pastor do it, so I'll do it. No, you do not use men of God or leaders as examples of the things you should do in your own life, because they, just like they are men, and they can falter, and they can do wrong, and they can do things that do not bring glory to God, and we do not copy that and emulate and say, because the leader has done this, then I should do it. So, Jesus tells the people that observe what they teach you to do, but when it comes to the things they do outside their deeds, do not do according to their deeds. Verse 4, they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. They will tell you things you're supposed to do. They will give you all these rules and laws. And by the way, they would add to the law. They would add things extra that you should do. Yet, according to the law, they were not written. And now, there are some heavy burdens that they are placing on people. And yet, they cannot keep them. There are some things that they are demanding of people, but then they cannot keep them. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. Yeah? These guys, by the way, would fast 3 times a week. They would do things that if everybody else looks at them, they are going to admire. They won't say, this is the most holy person I've seen. And I know you might know somebody of that sort. And you're like, this is the holiest person I've seen. The Pharisees gave a picture to be noticed by men. Whatever they were doing was to be noticed by men. Whatever life they tried to portray was so that they are praised by men. For they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. Yeah? Of course, in these phylacteries, these are they would tie on their hands, yeah, that piece of cloth, which would have writings concerning scripture and some of the issues that were told to them straight from the time of Moses about the law. And they would tie them on their hands, also on their foreheads, yeah, and they move, showing everybody else that they are the holiest, yeah. And this, they were doing, picking from the earlier times in their nation as Israel, from Exodus 13, verse 9, and it shall serve as a sign to you on your hand and as a reminder on your forehead, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth, for with the powerful hand of the Lord he brought you out of Egypt. So they are picking from that, even from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. Yeah? And Deuteronomy 11, 18, you shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. So they would get these scriptures or the commandments or something specific that was taught to them, and they would put it on their hand and on their head. And this they are doing to be noticed by men. You get your car, you put a huge sticker of scripture. You put a huge sticker. You write huge words on your car. Yeah? That I'm a child of God. Yet you drive the worst on the street. You put a label so that they can see you. Yet actually, the truth is, you do not walk according to that which you profess. Now, verse 6. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues. Jesus is bringing out the character of the Pharisees, and he's telling the people. And I believe the people he's telling, because he's telling the crowds and the disciples, they have seen this happen. They have seen these people behave in this particular way. And now, they're saying, they love the place of honor at banquets. The best seat. That is where they want to sit. They want to sit in the best chair. They want to sit where they have the best view. Even when it comes to the synagogue, the front row is theirs. They write pieces of paper and put the word reserved because it belongs to them, these Pharisees. And they also want respectful greetings in the marketplaces. They want you to greet them with such great respect and honor. If you need to bow down, you should do that as you greet them. Because they are the great men of the land, the ones who uphold religion in Israel. Jesus is giving their description. And he says they also love being called rabbi by men. They want to be called teacher. They want to be held high. People speak highly of them as spiritual authorities. That is the character of these Pharisees. And Jesus says in verse 8, but do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher. Do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher. And you are all brothers. There are people who fight because they've not used your title. There are people who feel bad, who argue, who get angry because they've not added a title to your name. You are a brother. You are a sister. That's what Christ tells us. These Pharisees who are spiritual authorities, who are lifting themselves up there that nobody even wanted to annoy them or anger them, and they paid all this respect to them. Jesus is saying, those guys, those spiritual heads, they are brothers. Because he says there is one teacher. There is one rabbi. You are all brothers. I should not be offended if there is no title that comes by my name. I am a brother in Christ. You are a brother in Christ. We are all brothers in Christ. And he says in verse 9, do not call anyone on earth your father. Yeah? He's adding this now because the first one is talking about him, Jesus, speaking as the rabbi because he is the teacher. So Jesus, of course, as far as being the teacher, that is him. He is the teacher. He is the rabbi. We recognize him in that particular way. Now, he goes on in verse 9. As we conclude, in verse 9, he now says, do not call anyone on earth your father. Yeah? Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. I think it is important for us to understand which context is being talked about here as regarding father. This will take the turn of the spiritual ones, because there is also a big debate on spiritual fathers and the demand to have them. It's not a bad thing. It is not wrong to have it. Or to have a spiritual father. It's a good thing. But then, what does he imply when he says, do not call anyone on earth your father? For, he says, one is your father, he who is in heaven. The one who is in heaven is the father that we look at. The ones on earth will let you down. There are so many people who had Pharisees as their fathers, calling them this, because Jesus is talking about Pharisees in this case. So they're the ones who demanded to be called rabbi. They're the ones who demanded to be called fathers, because they were spiritual fathers to some of the people, and they were looking up to them in that particular way, yeah, in that respect to them, which is not bad, yeah. But then Jesus is making it a little clearer here. He's making it clearer for everyone that is hearing and listening. And he is saying, you have one father. And that is the one who is in heaven. So, when I make requests, I make them to my Father who is in heaven. When I'm making plea, I make it to the one who is in heaven. When I am surrendering everything, I am surrendering it to the Father who is in heaven. And we have cases now where people will come and threaten you and say, because I have this authority over you, you have to, when you pray, unless I've allowed it, will not happen. When you pray, unless I okay it, you will not receive an answer. They feel that they've got authority over the blessing upon your life. And Jesus is telling us that we have one Father who is in heaven. That's the one we look to. That's the one we obey. That's the one we give everything to. Yes, the leaders that God has brought into our lives, and we thank God for that. The leaders that God has brought into your life, and they will lead you in this walk of salvation. They will be key in this walk of salvation as far as everything is concerned with your spirituality. They will guide you. They will preach to you. They'll give the word to you. They'll speak the words that bless you. They'll speak the words that encourage you. They'll be that that direction to you. And that is a great thing. But as far as Jesus speaks here, there is one who has all the authority and all the power. And he is the Father who is in heaven. So, for Rabbi, that is him. It's Jesus. He's the teacher. He's the one that we give all this title to and not to any man. And when it comes to verse 9, when he speaks of the Father is the one in heaven. He's the one who will hear your cry. He's the one who will respond to your need. The ones on earth can let you down. They can break you, but the one in heaven will not do that. And it says in verse 10, do not be called leaders, for one is your leader. That is Christ. And this is amazing for us to hear and to know that we are led by the greatest of them all. We are led by him and him alone. And he goes on and says in verse 11, but the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Jesus eventually is giving a message to the people here. And he's saying, I've been telling you about the Pharisees. But he concludes in this way. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. When you have the highest position, then you should be the servant. When everybody is praising you, and they are carrying your book and everything, and they are paving the way for you, and they are cleaning and sweeping where you pass, as they do that, you become the servant. And you step down below them and you serve them. Being a servant does not imply that, you know, sometimes we'll use words, yeah, I'm coming here to preach to you because I'm the servant. Okay, yes. But then there are things that you have to take down of yourself in all the glory that people have lifted you up and you go below them. When is the last time you cleaned chairs in your church? You're the greatest among them all. When is the last time you swept that church compound? You're the greatest among them all. When is the last time you served people? Oftentimes we are the ones that are being served. When is the last time you served people and said, I am the one serving the tea today? And it will shock you. It will shock many. It will shock those who you are serving, and they will wonder what has happened to this great man of God or great woman of God, that today they have come down to the level of serving tea to me. These are things that we need to do, because the greatest of them in this position shall become the servant. And I challenge us to try this. I challenge us to make a decision to be the servant. You may be great in your community. You may be great in your church. You may be great in your ministry. But serve. Do something that they don't expect. Do something and say, today I'm the usher. Today I'm the one giving you the tea. Because those who are greatest become servants. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. And whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. That is clear to us. That I don't have to exalt myself. Because the best way you will be humbled is by trying to exalt yourself. But the best way, if you're seeking for exaltation, humble yourself. Humble yourself before God. And you'll see great things. Humble yourself before men, and you'll see great things. Now I want us to get into prayer. And as we pray, and later on as we worship, we surrender to God. Some of us have lived like the Pharisees, or are living like Pharisees. We give a given picture to the people, yet when we close the door, we are the worst of them all. And we pray for you. We pray, O Lord, that you help us, that you change this character, that you help us run out of pretense, dear Lord. Because this we've done oftentimes. This we've done many times. This, O Lord, even as leaders, we've done. For the times we've felt like we are the spiritual authority over everybody else. Where we've felt like all we say is what matters. Where we felt like we hold the blessing over people's lives. Yet it is you, O God. We ask you to forgive us. And we ask you to help us correct this even before them. Even before those we lead. That they may look to you and to you alone. That they focus on you and you alone, not to us. The positions we carry do not matter. It is you that matters. Help us, O God. Help us, O God, to be those people that are worthy of the calling, dear Lord. We sit in places of authority. We sit in positions of leadership. And sometimes we hurt people. Sometimes we feel that we are the gods of them. Yet, dear Lord, it is you. Sometimes we feel we are the wisest teachers that exist. Yet you're the only rabbi. Help us, O God. Help us, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves. Because you say those who humble themselves shall be exalted. Give us these hearts that are humble. Give us hearts that are humble. Give us hearts that are humble, dear Lord. And not only in ministry, but even in our workplaces. Even in our families. Even in our relationships. Give us this humility, because the one who humbles themselves shall be exalted. Help us, O God. Help us, O God. Help us, O God. We pray, tell God to help you. Just ask Him and say, God, help me. Help me, Lord. Tell Him, help me, Lord. Give me the heart that is humble. Let humility be part of my life. Let humility be the center. Because those who humble themselves are exalted. For wherever I've had pride, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. For wherever I've taken myself to be greater than everybody else, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And give me a heart, mighty God, that looks to you. To you, Lord, as my rabbi. To you, Father, in heaven as my father. To you, Christ, as my leader. You exalted, Almighty God. You highly exalted, Almighty God. The maker of the heavens and the earth. There is none like you. Is none like you. Shrikasata blayashika bayasite. You're worthy, O God. We exalt you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for our study today. We believe that the Word of God is alive and new each day. Open your heart and let God speak to you. You can also access our teachings through our Podbean channel or reach us through our website, BibleInDepth.com.